Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee.
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You are now talking with TD. I am your host, Teron Davenport. We have Elijah Campbell hitting the switches, making this thing sound beautiful, like that chocolate sound that melts in your ear. Yes, yes, the old Tony Brown Quiet Storm reference. I'm excited to bring you this show. Why? Because the offseason has obviously been here, but we're really spinning it forward into draft talk. We got the Senior Bowl in. Had an opportunity to see some different quarterbacks and prospects that would definitely help the Titans both now and in the future. So what better way to discuss some of the quarterback options that were down there than with a former quarterback? So we're going to bring in ESPN NFL draft analyst Jordan Reed, a guy who played the position at UNC Central. So I definitely look forward to getting his perspective just on what quarterbacks would be good for the Titans and what direction they should go. We'll talk a little Ryan Tannehill as well. And then, as always, right, each week we bring you Chris Sanders, Run TMC. I think today I'm going to get into the tight ends with Chris and just the importance of that within this Titans offense. That's something that would be good to talk about. But until then, we are going to open the show with some news. Obviously, you guys know that the Titans extended Mike Vrabel and John Robinson's contracts. I personally believe that it comes deservingly so. And a quick statement from Miss Amy Adams Strunk, the Titans controlling owner. I'm proud to say that John and Mike will be leading our football team for years to come. I've seen them improve on a yearly basis under their direction, and I know their singular goal is to deliver a championship for our fans, which would also be friends. Together, they have developed a culture within an organization that has been essential to our success. Their values align with mine and what I want the Titans to be. They demand excellence from themselves and others, work well together, are striving to improve, and they deeply care for our players and our staff. I think that's something that is a really good message, because there is a family atmosphere there with the Titans. And you know, when I hear Miss Amy Adams Strunk say that they care deeply for the players, I look back to Coach Vrabel, and when he spoke out after A.J. Brown came out and said that he was contemplating taking his life last year, one of the things that Mike Vrabel said was the importance of asking how you're doing and actually taking the time to listen, as opposed to just saying that in passing in the hallway. And that's something that I think Coach Vrabel has done a really good job of, just establishing that culture where it's family and their brothers and sisters, because there are, you know, ladies in the building. Anybody could talk to anybody about any issue, and that's a really good foundation for a successful organization. Now, obviously, everything is measured in results, right? Wins and losses. And, you know, this team is coming off of a disappointing Super Bowl year, what should have been for them, right? You know, you had the division loss. The Super Bowl was supposed to run through Nashville, and obviously things came to a crashing halt. But I think if you look big picture, right, with Coach Vrabel, you know, he set he matched the franchise record, 43 wins over his four seasons with the Titans. He joined Jack Pardee, the former coach of the Houston Oilers, and they're the only coaches in team history to produce winning seasons in each of their first four seasons. And Vrabel's 6-14 winning percentage is the highest in Titans franchise. You know, so that's definitely a remarkable thing that he's been able to do. 43-27, including the playoffs, and he was named the Coach of the Year this year. So obviously, a lot of things that he has done have earned him the right to be extended. And it's interesting, because what did he say after that loss? He said he intends to be that coach for a long period of time. He also said a few days later at locker cleanup that he doesn't want to go anywhere else. This is the place he wants to be. This is where he wants to coach. And I think that's really good for the Titans. And obviously, you know, Super Bowl aspirations, like, everybody wants to win the Super Bowl, rightfully so. And that should be the standard, right? When you're a team that's consistently in the playoffs, like the Titans have been, three consecutive times, right? Two consecutive AFC South title. So this is a team that has the Super Bowl in their crosshairs, and when they fall short, it's definitely a disappointment. Make no mistake about that. But I thought it was interesting what Warren Moon has said about Mike Vrabel. You know, he definitely, you know, is a guy who feels that Coach Vrabel has his team headed in the right direction. And if you look at his quotes, and this is via Titans online, I love the way Mike goes about his business. Again, this is Warren Moon. He takes no bull, you know what. But he's also a guy that players can relate to because he played the game, and it wasn't that long ago when he played it. He gets their attention because he has won championships, and he played a vital part in those championships. I just love the overall culture of what he has developed there, and I love how his coaches teach. They do a lot of teaching on the field all the time, and that is important. Even though these guys are professionals, there's still things they can learn all the time, and they do a great job of coaching. You see guys before practice. You see guys after practice working on little things, technique things. Those are the things you don't see on a lot of football teams. So I love the way his coaches teach. I can personally vouch for that. I've been in three different locations other than this Titans organization as far as covering this team. And I've seen a much greater attention to detail here with the Titans. And I've said it before on the Power Hour, TD Power Hour with Jarrett Stillman. You know, I've told him the way that their drills and things that they go over, the technique that they develop, the way that transfers to games, you literally see almost verbatim some of the things that they do show up in games. So to Warren Moon's point, they definitely teach a lot, and that's a big thing. And as he said, the culture, that's something that to, you know, definitely look at how the culture has changed, you know, for the Titans. And I remember, obviously, I wasn't here before Mike Vrabel came. I came 2018, July 30th was my first day. So I came into training camp. And one of the things that I consistently heard from people that I talked to within the building was that there was a fresh energy there. You know, there was a new vibe in the building. And I think you started to see that franchise turn towards an upscreen swing. Now, obviously, under Coach Mike Mularkey, they went to the divisional round of the playoffs. They got a win against the Chiefs, right, at Arrowhead Stadium in the wild card round and advanced to the next round, got, you know, beat by the Patriots, and then Mularkey was fired. But I think it was more a matter of John Robinson wanting his guy. And it goes back to what Ms. Adam Strunk said, they are aligned. And I think, you know, we talked a lot about Mike Vrabel, but we also have to look at John Robinson because, you know, he gets a lot of flack for, you know, the first round picks as of late. And obviously, you know, the Isaiah Wilson one is just, that was a disaster, right? Caleb Farley is still a work in progress, but I think you look at some of his other picks, right, in the first round, Jeffrey Simmons. You know, I think you look at his depth picks in Kevin Byard, you know, Amani Hooker. You're talking about Jayon Brown. You know, these are third, fifth rounders, right? David Long, sixth round. Like, these are guys that have been drafted later, you know, and came in and have been a crucial part of that defense, which we know is the strongest point of this team. Now, when you look at John Robinson, right, he took over 6 years ago, and each year this team has produced a winning season. And I get it, right? Wins are good in the regular season, but you want them in the playoffs. I'm not shortchanging that. I understand that fully. But I think we also need to look at what you have in front of you, and that's a guy who has put you in a position to actually demand that. You know, because before the Titans, you know, started making these playoff runs, I mean, there was a stretch, and you know that it was really tough for this team. So I think we look at John Robinson and just the level of talent that he's brought onto this roster, it's definitely significant. I mean, we're talking about multiple Pro Bowl players that were selected. I could get the exact number for you. Let's take a look here. Where are we? Some of the guys I had already mentioned, you know, as far as numbers are concerned, that they've brought on. And I mean, I wanted to open this up and just talk a little bit about, you know, what these guys have been able to do with this franchise. And I mean, you look, a total of 9 Pro Bowl players were added to the roster through the draft, free agency, and trades. And I mean, you're talking about Derrick Henry in the second round, AJ Brown in the second round, Harold Landry in the second round, right? Kevin Byard in the third, Roger Saffold as a free agent addition, Brendan Trywick, who made it as a special teams guy. And then you look at trades, right? He brought in DeMarco Murray and Ryan Tannehill, who has made the Pro Bowl. Now, here's the thing. You know, right now, Ryan Tannehill is like the hot topic. You know, he's the guy that has gotten the bulk of the blame for this team not going to the Super Bowl, you know, and I get it. I definitely have been one of them to place that blame on him. He obviously should have part of that blame, and that's just something that, you know, it kind of goes that way for the quarterback, you know what I mean? But I thought it was interesting what Warren Moon had to say about Ryan Tannehill and just the way things went. And, again, this is via Titans Online. And the criticism when you are the quarterback, that's always a part of the job. You get a lot more praise than you probably deserve when a team is doing well, and you probably get more blame when the team isn't doing well, and that comes along with it. A lot more praise than you probably deserve when a team is doing well. Remember how many people said Ryan Tannehill made Derrick Henry? I'm just saying. I think you understand that when you start playing quarterback at whatever age you start playing it, so Ryan understands that. But you just have to keep working through it and do everything you can to get better, and I know Ryan will do that. One other thing that was interesting that Warren Moon said was, you know, he pointed out the injuries, right, with Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry all being down at different points. And then he pointed out losing Arthur Smith. We'll see how this addition of Tim Kelly will work as far as the pass game coordinator, a senior type of offensive role, similar to what Jim Schwartz had, according to Mike Vrabel. But to Moon's point, there was a lot of transition this year. Here's what he said about Ryan Tannehill over the last couple of years. Ryan was one of the best quarterbacks in the league the last couple of years before this season because of that stability. Excuse me. And then he didn't have that. So I think the inconsistency of a lot of guys in and out of the lineup really hurt him as far as being consistent this year. Hey, I mean, that's, you know, an all-time franchise quarterback there in Warren Moon saying that, you know, given the explanation, for Ryan Tannehill's tough season. And I think you have to look at the 14 interceptions, right? That was more than 2019 and 20 combined. Obviously, something wasn't right. I don't think you just, you know, revert back to a turnover machine automatically. So there are some things to look at. Warren Moon actually thinks that the Titans could get to the Super Bowl with Tannehill because they have all the pieces, and he pointed to the defense. I think that's interesting to look at that. The defense is definitely a big part of it. Can they carry this team the way some of these heavy defensive teams in the past have done so? I don't know. I just think, you know, if this team is going to win, they're going to have to be really good, or as Mike Vrabel said, great around Ryan Tannehill. But in addition to that, Ryan Tannehill can't turn the football over. He has to manage the game correctly, and I think that's the biggest thing. Manage it correctly. Don't turn the football over. Another quote from Warren Moon. He can be a Super Bowl winning quarterback, a Super Bowl winning quarterback with that team. And they are more of a run-dominated team anyway with Derrick Henry and Deontay Foreman. They will still have to get big plays out of the passing games. That's exactly right. Play action, deep passes. This is why this team needs a vertical field-stretching slot option. Now, I'll tell you one other thing that they could use, a tight end that could work those seam routes out of play action. And just give you a little preview of a guy that I think would be perfect, Jelani Woods. If you look at that tight end out of Virginia, 6'7", 259 pounds. He runs the seam route really well. You could move him outside. There's a lot you could do. So I'm just saying, look, this team is not going to have a lot of space as far as the cap is concerned. O.J. Howard would be a pretty good low-cost, high-reward type of signing. David Njoku would cost some money. But I think if they could complement that with a tight end out of the draft, you know, that would really help this team. So I just wanted to open up with just some talk about Ryan Tannehill, obviously, but also the extensions that Mike Vrabel and John Robinson got. We're going to go ahead to a break, and then we'll be right back. And what we'll do is get into Run TMC. We'll continue that tight ends talk. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Teron Davenport. You ever had to sit and wait for 2 hours or longer to get new tires put on your car? Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Call my friends at Freedom Tire Guy. They're Nashville's premier mobile tire company that does it all. New tires, balance, rotation, everything. And they come to you. Your work, your job, your house, you name the spot. Head online to FreedomTireGuys.com, fill out their tire calculator, pick your new tires, and schedule your service date. It's that easy. If you don't see something you like, give them a call and they'll find it for you. Check them out today at FreedomTireGuys.com.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Strings, please. Yeah. Okay, here we go. The music fades.
Yes, sir.
New music enters. As the lights dim. Here we go. And now. Add power forward. For your Phoenix Suns, number 25, Oliver Miller.
And now, starting for your Tennessee Titans at safety, Lance Shelters.
Oh, dang. Headband and all, huh? Just for that, I'm going to get you back. Nah, you know what? I'll say that for next week. I was about to call you Popeye Jones, but I'll come out with that.
What's going on with you, man? I heard you went to you go to the Senior Bowl?
I didn't go, but I watched a lot of the practice film. We were able to get access to that. Shout out to Catapult Sports. You know, they definitely hooked that up. So got to watch that. But, yeah, man, I mean, there's a lot of players down there that will obviously benefit this Titans team. And I'll tell you what, one of the deepest classes that you'll see in a while at tight end. And you saw there were a bunch of tight ends down there at the Senior Bowl. And I guess that's what we'll get into, Chris. The importance of that position in this Titans offense. And I think it's good that we talk about that, because the last game that this Titans team played, there were zero targets to the tight ends. And, you know, I'm very fond of Anthony Firkser. You know, he was coming open on that final route. And, you know, for whatever reason, Tannehill didn't go there. He went to Westbrook Ikhinne. But I think when you look at the importance of that tight end position, a team that works play action and does the things that this team likes to do, I feel that that's very important. So how do you look at the role the tight end needs to play for this team?
I mean, they got to be huge. Number one, we always talk about they got to block. But if you look at the way the NFL is going right now, they got to be versatile. And, and some of the great tight ends that the Tennessee Titans had was the Laney Walker and Jonnu Smith. What made them so special? They could block a nine technique. That's a little shade outside the tight end. But also, you can flex them out and be a nightmare matchup against a linebacker or a safety. So when you have those type of guys and you see those type of guys in this upcoming draft, it just makes your offense better. And just looking at the Tennessee Titans, look at the weapons that they have on the field. They got A.J. Brown. They got Julio Jones. And then you add a guy like a Delanie Walker or Jonnu Smith, it just makes your offense better.
How much does that allow you to kind of dictate to the defense how they're going to have to defend you, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because when Firkser or Swain is in the game, 9 times out of 10, what is it going to be?
Pass.
It's going to be a run. It's going to be a run.
You said Swain too? Okay, yeah. Them together?
Just one at a time. They're in like a 11 person, there, one back, one tight end, and three wide receivers, kind of like in that situation.
First, I would say pass. Swain, I would say run.
Right. Just vice versa. But when you have a Delanie Walker in the game, or you have a Jonnu Smith, there's so many things you can do. You can get into a formation to where you flex them out, and it can be a run. You can flex them out. Mm-hmm. It can be a pass. So when you have a versatile guy like that, it just makes everyone around you better. So now if you get, say if you get A.J. Brown doubled and you take Julio Jones and you double, who's going to get one-on-one in the slot if you flex them out?
Yeah.
A tight end.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. You know, when you look at having a guy like Delanie Walker, you could come out, and if it's a likely run situation,
right,
you could they'll match personnel, right, and they'll mm-hmm. probably, I would say, go base, right, and then mm-hmm. you flex Delanie Walker into the slot. 9 times out of 10, a guy like Walker will beat mm-hmm. the opposing team's linebacker.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then when they flip it and they go sub package, right, and you could mm-hmm. stay with Walker in line, or even if you flex him, now you have the opportunity for Walker to outblock a DB. So I think that's how it really dictates the defenses, how things are going to go.
Yeah, and then you're looking at tight ends that are faster, big, and strong. And look at the tight end from the Denver Broncos, Noah Fant. I mean, he's a dog.
Yeah.
And what's that tight end from the Atlanta Falcons? I can't remember his name, from Florida.
Oh, yeah, Kyle Pitts.
Kyle, look at him. He's not a gigantic dude, but he runs like a receiver. So you flex him out in a slot, or even put him on the outside, he's going to make some big catch. He runs routes like a doggone wide receiver. He's got quick feet. He does things at the top of the route, and he just makes your offense better because you can put him in a lot of different formations.
Yeah, and so with this Titans team, and let's look at Ryan Tannehill himself.
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. and you look at his best 2 years. So 2019, you had a smidget, a tidbit of Delanie Walker, but mostly Jonnu Smith.
Right.
And then 2020, Jonnu Smith just exploded, and you had a sprinkling of Anthony Firkser over those 2 years as well. Mm-hmm. So very clear. And there was a point in time where pretty much most of Tannehill's targets, like in 19, most of his targets were going to outside of A.J. Brown. It was going to Jonnu Smith and Anthony Firkser. Those guys were high on targets. Mm-hmm. And then you look at 20, Jonnu Smith still. Corey Davis was able to elevate, but then you also had A.J. Brown continue to do what he does. So how much do you think, like, that safety net,
ooh,
the tight end is for a guy like Ryan Tannehill, who, in my opinion, like, he likes to work between the hashes. I think that's something that he likes to do, you know, that short to mid-range passing game, getting the ball to those tight ends.
Absolutely. When he's in trouble, who is he going to come to? If everybody's coming, he's going to come to your tight end. I'm going to give you a perfect example. 1999, who had the most receptions on the Tennessee Titans?
Whitecheck.
Frank Whitecheck. Why is that? Frank Whitecheck. Why do you think? It's because when everything breaks down, when he feels, if he can't read a defense, there's somebody he can always count on. Who's that? Frank Whitecheck. Frank Whitecheck, he was a big guy. I mean, he wasn't really swift, but he understood how to run routes against a linebacker or against a safety. He knew exactly what to do, and he knew that he was going to get open. So now, when you get a guy like that on your team, like a Delanie Walker, a Jonnu Smith, a guy that you know is going to be in the right spot, because if you look at, you know, with Tannehill, well, who was his safety net? It was Delanie Walker. And then also, let's even go back to Mariota. Who was Mariota's safety net? Delanie Walker.
Yeah.
The reason why is because he could trust him. He could get open. You know, he created matchups that benefited the Tennessee Titans. So that's why it's so important to have a big-time, you know, tight end. And another thing, TD, you don't want to just get a tight end just to be getting a tight end. You want to make sure he fits your scheme.
Right.
You know, we always talk about, oh, let's just go get a big-name tight end. But what if he's just a blocking tight end? You got to make sure he's versatile for your offense.
So what do you think makes a tight end fit in the scheme, so to speak?
I mean, we talked about a little bit earlier, it's just been versatile. I mean, you got to make sure that, he's got to block the nine technique or be a good blocker, but also, you know, put him in a slot or put him outside to where he can make some plays on the perimeter, but also in the slot to catch those 5 and 6 yards slants or hitches and keep the chains moving. I mean, you definitely want to have that. I mean, if you look at Firkser, I'm not saying Firkser did a bad job. I'm not saying Swain did a bad job. But if I'm a defensive coordinator, do those guys bring any fear to you?
Right, right.
Absolutely not. But you have a Jonnu Smith, you have a Delanie Walker, you have a Noah Fant, you have guys like that. They put fear in you because that's another guy that you got to, you know, pay attention to.
So when you look at some of these free agents, right? And look, here's the deal. The Titans are kind of they're up against it, you know, when it comes to cap space. But there's always things that you could do to, you know, make a wiggle here, make a wiggle there, open up some space.
Right.
That being said, do you think this team should spend money? Now, I'm talking about, like, money on a tight end.
I don't think they should do it in free agency. I think with it being loaded in the draft, I think you can get somebody to fulfill that need. Because, you know, what you're looking at in this draft, you're not just looking at just tight ends. You're looking at big, fast, athletic tight ends. And that's exactly what the Tennessee Titans need. So if they get a guy like that to fit their system and get him in the first round or the second round, then that benefits the Titans. I just don't think you go out and spend a whole bunch of money to go and get a tight end when you got to pay like Landry and different guys like that. Go get the guy in the draft. Because if you look at, we talked about a little bit earlier, if this draft is deep in tight ends, you're going to find a gem.
So does that rule out a guy like David Njoku? He has a market value of $6.7 million per year. The way SpotTrack, that they projected his deal to be a four-year, $26.9 million deal. Okay. Yay or nay?
I would say nay.
Okay.
And the reason why I say nay is because, I mean, I understand he's been productive. I understand he's been doing a great job. But I think that you can find a gem in the draft. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, pay him his, you know, the rookie salary and all that stuff. So, you know, I understand that the name is big. I understand that, you know, he could benefit this offense. But being deep in tight ends, and when you, everybody's saying that across the board, you're saying it, I'm saying it, the analysts are saying this tight end draft is deep with quality guys. I just think you get somebody in the draft that can fulfill that need.
Okay, one more name I'm going to give you, and then we'll sprinkle in some draft guys.
Okay.
Okay. O.J. Howard, this is very interesting, right? Because we're talking about a guy. You want a tight end that could work the vertical passing game, a tight end that could block? O.J. Howard could do that. Now, obviously, there's a lot of injuries that have, you know, accumulated over time. But SpotTrack has his market value at $2.2 million, a one-year $2.2 million deal. Yay or nay?
I mean, because you're not paying him a whole bunch of money.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you're getting a quality guy. But I think the reason why people may stay away from him is because he's injury prone. I mean, that's the only thing. So with him having that market value, I agree with you, TD. I may jump on that.
At $2.2 million, like prove it type of deal, I'm on that. You know,
that's still a lot of money, though.
It's in the big picture. I think it is, but if you double down by drafting a couple tight ends, right, and then you have your guy Briley Moore out of Kansas State who's still on the roster, you know, just recovering from the ACL, I think you may have something working there. So I said draft tight ends. Now, mind you, just real quick, Anthony Firkser, they have his value at 1 year, $3 million. Yay or nay?
Okay, this is my opinion. I would let Firkser go, and I would get Howard. But the only thing that scared me is Howard is he's injury prone. I mean, if he's injury prone, then you know, and I'm being respectful when I say this, but you know that J-Rob and Mike Vrabel like to get guys that are injured to come and play. I mean, Dupree and different like that. But at the end of the day, those guys get healthy and it benefits the team. Look at what Simmons. I know it's a different position. Look at what Dupree. Once those guys get healthy, they change that whole defense. But now you get a guy like this that's been injury prone. He gets healthy. He can benefit the offense.
No doubt. No doubt about it. So let's talk a couple draft guys.
Sure.
A couple guys, you know. You mentioned someone from Iowa State. What's your take on Iowa State's tight end? One of them.
Man, I like him. It's Charlie Kohler. He's 6'6", 260. You know, he had 23 TDs. And the one thing I love about him, he's a great blocker and he has great feet, man. We talk about, you know, tight ends having great feet and burst off the cut and chest, all those things. I think he would benefit the Tennessee Titans on what he can bring to the team. He can block the nine technique, but also you can split him out and flex him out and run routes against those linebackers. I'm telling you, in my opinion, I'm not saying I'm the GM, whatever, but I just think that one of those guys, I mean, Charlie Kohler from Iowa State can be a big, big asset for these Tennessee Titans.
You know what's really fascinating about this draft class is there's
crazy.
You have different options, But there's so many guys who are like, so you say, you say 6'6", 250. It's like, okay, yeah, there's probably like three of them. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's the thing that's so crazy. Speaking of which, Jelani Woods out of Virginia, I mentioned him earlier in the opening, and this is a guy that's just a shade under 6'7", 259. I've seen him line up out wide, like literally over top of the numbers.
Yeah.
I've seen him line up, you know, at the slot position, line up flexed, line up in line, and you talk about a vertical option, running seams and posts and those type of things off of play action. You talk about a guy working in the middle of the field. He's a very, very interesting player. And at 6'6", 259, I get it. You know, you're going to want a lot of pancakes, you know, watching, seeing a guy that big. But really, it's hard not to just at least be able to get in the way.
Absolutely.
So I think he would be a good option.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, this class is so deep. And we're going to have Jelani on. We're going to have, you know, a bunch of these tight ends on. I definitely have that emotion right now. So I just think this, man, at the end of the day, if the Titans could get a low-cost veteran and double down twice, I think they'll be in good shape. But, you know, there's a lot to improve, you know, at this tight end
position. Yeah, and not even the tight end position. I like, and I know a lot of people are not talking about it, but I think that they're deeper receiver in this draft. So don't be surprised if they get a slot receiver. I like the cat from Penn State, you know, Dotson, Jahan Dotson. Yeah. And also I like, you know, my cat from the Ohio State University, Chris Olave. I mean, guys that can run in the slot, guys who can do some good things when they catch the ball. So you add a tight end and get a receiver. Woo!
I tell you what, Olave at 26 would be beautiful.
No, and he might be gone though.
Yeah, yeah, and the same thing with Dotson. There's a chance. Actually, Bucky Brooks, NFL.com, he has Dotson. He projected Dotson to the Titans at 26. But Olave, if he's there, like that would be a huge pickup. And Jordan Reed actually, in one of his write ups, he said a scout told him that he's a more polished version of Will Fuller.
Could definitely
use that in the lineup. What's
and he's smooth too, man. Smooth.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's something about those Ohio State receivers. They smooth.
Excuse me, sir. It's the Ohio State University, sir.
Oh, sorry. Hey, man, I guess we could close it on that point right there.
Absolutely, man. Good stuff.
We are talking to one of the Ohio State's finest.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you,
Lance. All right, Popeye Jones, we out.
This is Jefferson, and I'm talking with TD.
All right, back from the break. As you hear it, Wu-Tang Incarcerated Scarface. That's what we do, man. You know, it's Wu Wednesday. What I want to do now is something I've been wanting to do over the last couple of weeks, and that's bring in ESPN NFL draft analyst Jordan Reed, a former quarterback. So this is going to be good. It's only right that we get into these college quarterbacks because this is a guy that has been there and done that. Jordan, what's going on, man?
What's going on, TD? Happy to be back. I always enjoy our yearly chat.
No doubt. And it has become a yearly chat, man. So I appreciate you, you know, making a tradition with me. I guess we'll get right into it. You're fresh off the Senior Bowl. You saw the different guys down there. What's your take on some of those quarterbacks? Because you figure, what, six of the top seven guys for the most part are they were down there. You saw them in Mobile.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing, I'll just talk as a whole about this quarterback class, is that we don't have that quarterback one that's really jumped out to us like in years past. Even going back to 2019 with Kyler Murray, 2 years ago with Joe Burrow, we saw what he's able to do this year. And then last year with Trevor Lawrence. But this year, we don't have that consensus top guy. But the great thing about all of them going down to Mobile is that we were able to see each and every one of them outside of Matt Corral side by side, testing the arm strength, the smarts, just how they adjusted to plays in the huddle. Little things like that people don't even think about just because the college game is so signal-based.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is predicated upon the coaches. You have some guys doing half-field reads, full-field reads. It just depends on the system that you're in, and then with the college game being so RPO, run pass option, and it was really good to see them outside of their comfort zone and learning new things on the fly. So I think the two most impressive guys were Malik Willis from Liberty and also Kenny Pickett from Pitt, which was my two top-ranked guys going into the week. So it's good to see them really be as good as advertised. But I thought the other guys had good weeks too, and Carson Strong, Sam Howell, and then also Desmond Ridder from Cincinnati too, and Bailey Zappi, who's probably going to be late day two, early day three type of pick, probably going to be one of the more popular quarterbacks in that area of the draft. So I think a lot of them lived up to being as advertised, but there still isn't that one guy that I thought just jumped out and said, yeah, I'm QB1. But I think Malik Willis probably had the most impressive practice. Mm-hmm. It came on Wednesday when there was a downpour outside, and he was still able to drive the ball. You really saw the velocity and the arm strength. I think he was just a tier above everybody else in that department.
Yeah, that's interesting you mentioned that. And it's good that they had that practice in that type of setting, because that allows Malik Willis to show, like, hey, look, I don't care what the situation is, what the weather's like, I could play. One guy that you did mention is Desmond Ridder, and he's someone that, you know, as I'm going through the quarterbacks, I'm looking at him as a good option for the Titans. Obviously not to come in right now and be the starter, but a guy maybe in a year or two, et cetera. What are your thoughts on Desmond Ridder, and how would you think he would fit with the Titans?
I think it would be a good fit. I think I had him projected in the middle of the second round going to the Colts. I think it was at 47, if I'm not mistaken. But I think he's probably going to go much earlier than that. I think right now I probably would predict early second round for him. So maybe the Titans feel comfortable enough to take him at 26 if they do like him. Maybe they want to slide back a little bit and get that fifth-year option, maybe slide back to 31 or 32 and take him at the end of the first round. But overall, as a player, I think him and Carson Strong are probably the most mature of the bunch as far as the stuff that they had on their plate, setting protections, understanding where their hot reads are, and then just making adjustments at the line of scrimmage. And that's clear as day in their tape, just because you see them audibling out of plays, getting into the right situation. It's not just the pass game, it's the run game too. So I think walking through the door, he's going to be very mature. I don't think the NFL playbook is going to be a bit of a shock to him as far as calling plays in the huddle, getting guys lined up, setting and adjusting protections, all that stuff. I think he's already going to be polished in. He has a nice, smooth, clean, over-the-top release, too. That's something else that you notice about him. But the big weakness about him walking through the door is that his accuracy is a little bit scattershot, his ball placement. That's the big worry about him right now. And you kind of saw that a little bit in the mobile. But I thought the second and the third day of practice, I thought he did a good job of cleaning that up, which is what you want to see from quarterbacks down there, just getting better and cleaning up their weaknesses every single day. So, like I said, there's going to be so many different organizations as far as, or I should say, sequential orders of these quarterbacks. There may be some teams that have Desmond Ridder as quarterback one just because of the maturity that he has and what he accomplished in that system at Cincinnati.
And we're talking to Jordan Reed, ESPN NFL draft analyst. Jordan, this is a good point that you make about, making those adjustments at the line. One thing also that I think will definitely allow Ridder to fit into this offense is his ability to make plays when he's on the move. You saw him boot a lot of play action, those type of things at Cincinnati. And you even saw him get a touchdown. He threw a touchdown to Trey McBride on a boot. Carson Strong, though, you mentioned him as well. And as a guy who has been there and done that, when you look at him, do you think that there are true problems with his mobility? Is that something that you think would keep him from fitting into a Titans-like offense?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the big worry with him. I think everything in front of him has to be perfect. And what I mean by that is he has to have a really good offensive line in front of him, just because you have to hide some of those mobility limitations that he does have, just because he's never going to be a mobile guy. And you saw that down at the Senior Bowl. And the thing with Carson is that he's really good in the pocket as far as navigating inside and outside of it, maneuvering and creating throwing windows. His mobility is good inside of it, but it's when somebody comes unblocked and he has to avoid. He's not going to be able to do those types of things. So that's always the big worry with him. There's always going to be a mobility factor that you have to kind of try to hide with him. So having a good running game like Derrick Henry will help him. But at the end of the day, you still have to, what I like to call, create something out of nothing. And that's always going to be the big worry with him, creating those sandlot type of plays like we've seen some of these younger quarterbacks come into the league and have success with.
Are these guys that you're looking at here, we'll include Matt Corral in the equation, who do you think would be the best fit realistically for the Titans? So I guess we could say we could take Kenny Pickett out, we could take Malik Willis out, because they'll probably be gone by 26. But, you know, Corral possibly, Ridder and some of these other guys, who do you think would be the best fit for the Titans?
I think realistically, I think it's probably Howell or Ridder.
Okay.
Because both of them possibly could be there. I think Corral is probably going to go somewhere in the top 20 as well as those other guys. It wouldn't surprise me if either one of them end up going in the top 12 somewhere. So I think realistically it comes down to Howell or Ridder. I think either one of them would be really good fits. And then with Howell, I think he's an underrated athlete. And the thing about Sam is that he had to take a onus as far as the workload that he shouldered this year just because he lost his top four guys. Mm-hmm. And his two running backs behind him and Michael Carter and Javonte Williams, and then his two weapons on the perimeter and Dad Newsome and De'Ami Brown. So he only had 180 career rushing yards coming into this season. That's after 2 years. But after this year, he had over 800 rushing yards this year, which is just a phenomenal number, much more than what he's accustomed to. So he proved that he can be a rushing threat this year. Now, he's not going to make a living doing that, but he can get himself out of trouble if that's what it comes down to. So I think with the downfield passing game, which is something I think that's really missing with the Titans offense right now, he's already good in that area, but he has to clean up some short to intermediate stuff, but they already have the weapons in place to help him with that. So it wouldn't surprise me if they have some interest in Sam Howell.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. So let's shift it to the pros. And let me ask you this. So when you're looking at an NFL quarterback, what are some of the things that you're looking at as far as to consider him, you know, a top-level quarterback, a guy that you could win a Super Bowl with?
TD, I actually tweeted this out. I think it was after the AFC Championship game. And I've always said, if you don't feel as if you have hope at mm-hmm. any point in the game with your quarterback under center, then you don't have your franchise guy. And if you think about Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, no matter what the score is on a scoreboard, you always feel a sense of hope with those guys that they can get you or even get you back into the game or eventually win the game. And that's what I feel as if a franchise quarterback is. So if the Titans feel that way about Ryan Tannehill, maybe they have that guy. But if they don't, then you should keep swinging for the fences trying to get that guy. So that's what I've always felt embodies a franchise quarterback, and then accuracy and decision making. Then also you have to have a base level line of arm strength too. So those are the three things, before I should say, just hope, a baseline level of arm strength, and then the accuracy and decision making. Those are things that really I look for when considering if a guy is a franchise quarterback or not.
So it's impossible for you or I to know if the Titans feel at any point in the game that they could come back, because we're not in the huddle. But so we'll take that out. So when you're evaluating Ryan Tannehill, what are your thoughts on him as a quarterback? Like, I'll tell you, I believe he's a game manager. And I don't think there's anything wrong with a game manager, right? And a lot of times, like, I'll say that, and I have to remind people that Tom Brady initially was a game manager. You know, and Joe Montana was a game manager. And one of the things within that is not turning the football over. And I think that's something that has to be brought to light when you're talking about Ryan Tannehill. So that's my take. What is your feedback just as far as what you've seen from Tannehill?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think he's right in that tier of just being good or good enough. I think that's the best way to describe it. And we saw it in the game, the playoff game against the Bengals. I think Tannehill's a good regular season quarterback, and you can really hide his warts behind Derrick Henry, dumping it off to A.J. Brown and some of these other weapons that they do have, Julio, when he's healthy too. But whenever you need that guy to get you over the hump to make a play, whether it's with his legs or his arm, is Tannehill going to be that guy? I just don't think he's necessarily going to be that. And I think in the playoffs, if you think about the teams that have had continued success over the past 2 or 3 years, Buffalo with Josh Allen, and then also Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes, and now we can enter Joe Burrow into that discussion too. You not only have to think about these elite guys that you're going against, but they're going to be there for a long time, too. So is Ryan Tannehill going to be that guy that uplifts you over those type of guys? I just don't see that.
Yeah, no, I feel you on that. And that's the interesting thing that they have to work out. Mike Vrabel said they have to be great around him. So that tells you right there, you know, how that situation has to work out. And a part of being great around Ryan Tannehill is making sure that your team is strong in the draft. You have your two-round mock up. Obviously, the Titans don't have a second round pick. Girls are going to have to go to the mock to see who Jordan has the Titans select. And I'm not going to say that. But when you look at this team, if you had to give me the top four needs, what would you say those are and what's your reasoning for it?
I think wide receiver is a big one, just because I think combined AJ and Julio missed 11 games, if I'm not mistaken, together last year. So I think with Julio, I think you should just play it as a one-year thing right now. And he is aging, of course. He's over 30 right now, and then he's very costly too. So I think they probably need to infuse some young talent in the wide receiver room. Edge rusher could be an area that they look to address too. Harold Landry, we'll see what does happen with him. I think he's a terrific player. So I think those two are probably your primaries. I don't think corner is a huge need, but they could look for somebody later on in the draft. A lot of people are saying linebacker. I don't really see that. I think they have some very talented linebackers, but wide receiver and edge rusher are two areas that they could look to address.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And last thing before we get you out, I just want to spin it back to Ryan Tannehill, because a lot of the things that people, you know, look at when they examine his bad season, so to speak, A.J. Brown wasn't there a lot. So let me ask you, as someone who has been there and done that, how much does that security blanket, you know, really impact your play as a quarterback when you don't have your guy, as opposed to like when you do?
It matters a lot, just because these guys are putting so much time together in the offseason together as far as route running, the chemistry, and then you have to go and play with somebody you really haven't spent a whole bunch of time with. And I know they traded for Julio last year, but A.J. Brown's been there for quite a bit of time with Tannehill, so they have a different level of chemistry. And then A.J. Brown is a proven playmaker at all three levels of the field. So even if he's in single coverage, obviously he's going to throw it up. But in double coverage, he's going to throw it up too. You don't have that type of trust in some of these other players that's on the roster. So it's huge just having that security blanket. And then just the chemistry and the route timing with the dropbacks that he's performing in the playbook, that's something that matters.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Jordan Reed, ESPN NFL draft analyst. Make sure you check him out on all platforms. You can catch him on Twitter for sure. All of his work at Jordan, like the player, _ Reed, R-E-I-D. Jordan, I appreciate you. Definitely have to catch up at St. Elmo's or Capitol Grill, wherever, in Indy in a couple weeks.
Absolutely. Look forward to it, TD. See you soon.
All right, for sure. So that was Jordan Reed. Really, really love getting a talk shot with him. He's a guy, you know, Senior Bowl, Combine. I missed the Senior Bowl this year, so I didn't get to chop it up with him, but I'm looking forward to talking some more shot with him at the Combine. Very, very knowledgeable guy. I love his delivery and the message that he brings, just as far as having played the position before and giving that understanding. And I thought it was interesting what he said about some of the younger guys and Ryan Tannehill. I mean, the opinions, they definitely vary on him. So Jordan has his, obviously. And I think we'll just have to see how this thing continues to play out. But I tell you what, I appreciate each of you for tuning in. We're going to continue through this offseason, man. This show never stops. That's how the NFL is. And we're going to ride right along with it and just keep going and going and going and going, just like the Energizer Bunny. So shout out to everybody for tuning in. Shout out to Elijah Campbell for making this thing happen. Definitely make sure you check out our work on ESPN.com. Click that NFL page. Click the Titans page. Go ahead and follow that. You could also find me on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes. Search Talking with TD. Elijah and I will pop up right there. Rate, review, subscribe first. But we appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in. God bless. Good night.